First off, I'm from the University of Ottawa, Master of Arts in Communication, and what I'm going to talk to you about today is zombies. The interesting thing about zombies, and I'm sure a lot of people have become aware of it, is that in the last 10 years we've seen a little bit of a renaissance of the different films, books. It's been quite enormous. You have things like 28 Days Later, Resident Evil, Left 4 Dead, Pride and Prejudice, and Zombies, which was one, I think, the most grossing horror fiction 2 years ago, and The Walking Dead. So, but in light of these, of this great, you know, influx of zombie horror, my question is, why now? My second question is, why zombies? So, I relate to Kyle Bishop, who is a literature and film scholar, and he says that what has generally happened is that the events of 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina kind of set up the environment for zombies to be an appropriate manifestation of our current anxieties. And why is the anxiety part really important? That comes from this quote. Horror fiction addresses society's most pressing fears and is nothing less than a barometer for measuring an era's cultural anxieties. And this is kind of an idea that has happened through fiction in general, that the things that we create, things that we construct, are mirrors of ourselves. And that we can learn a lot by these new descriptions. But one of the things that, if we take into the idea that 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina and other natural disasters have set this up, I think that's really important, but I think there's something else, something alternative going on beyond these events. If you consider the atomic era, so, you know, the late 1940s all the way up into the late 80s, the kinds of narratives that we were seeing were nuclear-based. So fears and anxieties that the society was having were being manifested in film. Perfect example is Godzilla. Obviously, it's an atom bomb that they're thinking about, and the fact that their cities were being destroyed by this huge, monumental monster. So likewise, if the atomic age had its manifestations, what do we have? Are we still in the atomic age? Yes, I'd say so. But there's something that's a little more prevalent. And Manuel Castells says that we're in the network society. And so if we consider that we're in the network society, I think it would be reasonable enough to think that anxieties that we have are going to be about something about the network. So again, why then zombies? Why not werewolves or vampires? We're going to talk about the horror and the anxieties of a network. What does zombies offer that other monsters don't? And before I get to that, I just want you to keep that in mind. I read three books that were written in the last 4 years. Crowdsourcing by Jeff Howe, The Cult of the Amateur by Andrew Keen, and You Are Not a Gadget by Jaron Lanier. And all of these books describe how people work in the internet and together as a network, collaboratively. But there's an underlying anxiety that kind of permeates through most. Most evident in You Are Not a Gadget, he opens up saying there's a real problem. And that is the sense of losing consciousness, losing individuality, losing intelligence. And the fear is that this loss is occurred when you join something bigger, something massive, something like a group, a crowd, a horde, a pack, a mass. These are all very familiar terms to us. The familiarity is that these are terms we use to describe zombies. So this is kind of a little bit of the justification why I think zombies are appropriate, because we're already starting, the way that we describe our anxieties are in the same function as these books. Just a little bit of a history of zombies, just to get us through anyone who's not familiar. It started mostly with, in Haiti, the voodoo zombie, the idea of a master and a slave, that there would be a sorcerer that would bring up either the dead or make them a zombie and do their bidding. But that changed a bit in 1968 with Night of the Living Dead by George A. Romero, where he created basically the genre of zombies that we know of today. And, you know, they come back from the dead, they eat human flesh. That cannibalism was a big change in the idea of what zombies were, and they stagger about and they moan a lot. So this is the kind of thing that we know about zombies. But there's something else about zombies that gets to more of the core of what our anxieties could be. I'm going to relate to Embry and Laro's Zombie Manifesto, which is a response to Donna Haraway's A Cyborg Manifesto. They describe that the zombie, the problem, the thing that we have with zombies is that they are not a hybrid, kind of like the cyborg, nor are they a multiplicity, but a boundary figure. By boundary figure, we mean they're at the threshold of existence. They are both living and dead. But not just and living and dead, they're at the very moment where those things are zero in distance. Not only are they living and undead, they're also subject and object. A certain amount of consciousness to them, but not that much. So the way that we have tensions around this is that they kind of exist in this area that we can't quite reconcile. It's very problematic for us to kind of figure out how can you be conscious and unconscious. What does it mean to be at that point where there's a threshold? They don't say this, but I allude to it, or I'm stating explicitly, that the zombie is also single and multiple. The idea that it exists at the boundary between what it means to be an individual and a whole group. To continue from there, we need to look about something that's been very popular to discuss today, which is the network. Just a few things about networks. I just want to mention that the man who came up with this diagram died a couple of weeks ago, Paul Barron, a very important figure in considering networks. So he came up with the idea of how to avoid being destroyed during a nuclear holocaust or a nuclear bomb and the communication systems involved. So there's the idea that you have a centralized diagram, which is very close actually in connection to decentralized diagrams because they both have centers. One is just one center, one has multiple centers. In direct opposition to that, as Galloway says, is the distributed one. And the difference being, it's the centers that define what the network is. In the distributed network, it's the edges. It's the links between those nodes. And those links we can consider to be called protocol. Now, what protocol is, it's a set of recommendations and rules that outline specific technical standards. They're established points necessarily to enact upon agreed action. And this is a very interesting idea when you think about zombies. A lot of people have discussed, how do zombies communicate with one another? Like, is it through smell? And is it through sight? But it's the idea that we're actually asking the question, how do they communicate? That is kind of strange, because perhaps they're not communicating at all, they're just observing certain protocols, certain rules that have been accepted. Another idea that I kind of pulled from was an idea from Elias Canetti, which described protocol in a different way. This was 1960s, but the idea that's connected between the two is that all nodes are equal. And with Canetti, he said that the reason for crowds to amass is through density, equality, growth, and direction. These are the important aspects of what makes a crowd. Because of these direct relationships of organization, we can kind of start to think about, if this is what zombies work, maybe there's something about that mirroring in our own lives. And I want to bring us back to another idea about the threshold between subject and object. If the idea of being living and undead, or being living and being not living, is at this middle point, at this threshold, what does it mean for us? What are we dealing with? What is the kind of anxiety that we have? And I think that's really existent in the sense of being both people, but also data. We also exist as data. And what we're probably dealing with is the concept of being not just both, but being at the point where we're necessarily not just one or the other, and not just a combination of the two, but at this middle point. And we are exploring this concept through zombies. And the way that they are at this point in narratives that we've seen, we might start being able to figure out what is going on with networks? As was discussed in the last presentation, somebody noted that we don't know what networks are. We're still dealing with what a network can be, what it means to be part of one, what means to be not part of one. And I have a feeling that the zombie genre is actually really exploring it at a really pivotal and critical point. It's interesting to make this connection. So what I'm going to end with is this public service announcement. This was in 1998 in a magazine called Shift. It's now defunct, competing with Wired at the time. It was based in Canada. They had a couple of little PSAs throughout their magazine. One of them said, "The internet will eat your children." That was over 10 years ago. And what I think has happened is that the children have been eaten. They've been transformed. And we're now dealing with the fact that we are all zombies. And we are the living dead. Thank you.